KCNR, Shasta Redding. Slight change of plans for today. If you had been listening the last couple of days, you know we had Kim Spencer scheduled to be on We the People as our guest today, talking about Thinking Moms Revolution. Kim is going to join us on September 13th. We've had to reschedule that due to a conflict. So today we have an encore presentation from May the 17th of this year. We invite you to enjoy the best of We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You're joining We the People Radio. With Aaron Ryan.
And Bill Tundiff.
And our engineer,
Bob Horton.
We make him talk for himself. We make him speak occasionally. Oh my gosh. Well, then.
Greetings, Aaron and Bill.
Another action packed week.
Did you go to the rodeo, Bob?
I did not.
The big question is, did you stay long enough for the monsoon at whatever that was, 12:30 or 1 o'clock this morning? It's like, what is that?
Out there at 12:30?
No, but I could hear it. It was like, what is that?
I was out. I was out on the town about, I didn't get home until 3 in the morning. Yeah. I'm kind of a wild guy, you know. On the weekends, it's hard to keep up with me.
Even when Bill was young, he didn't do that.
You're giving me up.
Because it just doesn't make any sense. Oh, my gosh. Well, all righty. We are swiftly calling our guest for this hour. Well, for both hours, actually, Lauren Spivak. So if you are listening to us in Philadelphia, you'll have to tune into the website, wethepeopleradio.us, in order to catch Lauren, the rest of Lauren. But anyway, he has written a new book, third book. Okay, so wait, let's start at the beginning. First book was called The New Democrat. Super funny. I should have brought them, darn it. What was I thinking? Got him on the shelf. Should have brought them so we could have flipped through them. I know. Dope. Anyway, it's a parody history on the Obama administration based on a famous children's book, needless to say, The Cat in the Hat. And they're the same size. They're little hardback books. They're great, great gifts. And the humor is perfect. Unless, of course, you're, you know, flaming liberal, in which case kind of make you angry. You might get one for a present.
Can you say flaming liberal?
Flaming and liberal, all in the same thing?
Yeah.
A flamer or a liberal?
Yeah.
No, well, I thought flaming liberal was actually much nicer. So Lauren kind of goes by the handle of the free market warrior. He was born and raised in Massachusetts, spent most of his adult life in New York City. And becoming active in politics, he worked in several nonprofits as a management consultant for both profit and nonprofit corporations. He does a terrific economics seminar, but he has a new one. He has a new seminar out, and we'll let him. And I think I botched the title. Hey, Lauren, are you in there already?
I am here.
What is the title of the new seminar?
Well, my new one, my third one, is called The Search for Superhuman Wisdom.
And somehow on the website it became The Wisdom. I was like, wait a second, that's not the name of it.
That is the Monarch Notes version of my seminar.
I'll be fixing that right now. I was like, wait a minute, it's not called The Wisdom. That sounds like some weird cult. although that would be a great name for a cult, you know, in case you want to start one of those.
That's if you want the Reader's Digest to bridge the seminar.
We'll just cut right to the wisdom.
Maybe it's about teeth.
It's something. Hey, so give folks a thumbnail sketch on both your seminars, because they're really good. But we've only seen the economics one. We haven't seen the superhuman wisdom one.
Come to think of it, I don't think I've even done my second one with you guys, which is called Getting There From Here. They're all really different from each other in terms of the content.
Okay, we missed that
Getting
one.
There From Here, which is officially the second seminar, is about developing a practical political strategy toward a smaller government. Because it struck me that, you know, say what you want about the Republican Party, I don't hear much of a peep out of them about how to actually make the government smaller than it is. And so that's what my entire second seminar is about. And the third one, the Search for Superhuman Wisdom, is probably the most intellectual of the three. It's about understanding the role of law and democracy and Congress and republics and how that all works together. It's understanding how you want to have a free society, where you need some law, because you can't let people just go around murdering other people, but where you want to maximize freedom. And we tackle some really interesting issues, I think, including that democracy doesn't work very well, and that there are alternatives to democracy. And when you say that to people, they think the only alternative to democracy is, you know, to have a totalitarian dictator. And I think just the opposite. There's those alternatives which actually work a lot better than democracy and are a lot fairer than democracy.
Well, that's kind of fun. Now, how long is that seminar?
All my seminars are 7 hours long.
Okay.
It's a format that I've gotten very comfortable with. We usually do them in 2 3.5-hour nights.
And you pretty much travel the whole country, and you will come and do that seminar at no charge for pretty much any group that can assemble itself in one place, right?
Yep, that is pretty much the story. I've done, amongst these seminars, I've done a seminar about 300 times now. I just did my first one in Tennessee just the last night, which is the 25th state that I've done seminars in now.
No fooling. Well, it is a great format.
Maine to San Diego.
And then you're on to San Diego?
No, I said I've done them from Maine to San Diego.
Maine to San Diego.
Entire length and breadth of the country.
Holy cow. And so we've listed your email on there. It's Lauren Spivak, Spivack, @gmail.com. And that's really an easy way for people to get a hold of you, and you always get right back to them and all that.
And I should say, I also, you know, usually, particularly with a new group, I give shorter talks on, you know, half-hour talks on an economic topic. I don't want people to think that if I start talking, I can't stop in less than 7 hours.
That's true. I forgot about that.
I can do a shorter talk, too.
That's true. You do a really good warm-up talk. And then websites. Why don't we give folks that while we're on
Well, the website,
details
which is
here.
Mostly about my books, which is the other half of my life, is ObamaParody.com.
Okay, and we have that linked on there as well. And it's got the first two books, but I did add the cover. I'm figuring it's the front and back cover, right?
That's correct.
Okay, and I split them so that they would be big enough that people could see the detail, because they're really good. So we have The Wizard of Iz, which is the third book. And let's see, I told people the first one, The New Democrat. The second one is The Gorax, needless to say, modeled after Lorax.
That's right, it's about environmentalism.
And it's really good. I mean, for anybody who is even halfway plugged in on what's happening in the environmental, the extreme environmental community, this ought to make you, give you a good chuckle. So give people a little snap of, you know, a little elevator speech on The Wizard of Iz, and then we'll do more.
Well, sure. The broader theme is what I do in my books is I try to take, you know, important political economic ideas of our time and do them in kind of a fun, friendly children's book form, which occasionally confuses people because they're not really children's books.
I periodically
get emails from people saying, you know, we want to learn more about your children's books. And I say, I don't write children's books. They look like children's books.
But you know
but
what?
They're aimed at adults, and what they do is they tackle political issues of our time in a way that's very fun and accessible. That is, they're picture books. The words are in the form of poetry, like a Dr. Seuss, for example. And so I find that, you know, in an age where people don't do a whole lot of reading, it's like a book for people who don't read. If you put it on your coffee table, you know, everyone will pick it up and read it, you know, even though they're not really, you don't have to be book people. And And it makes a nice gift for, you know, people who aren't big on reading books per se, but everyone enjoys this because it's, you know, it's fun and it's quick and they're just humor. Or I think someone else suggested that my books are like really long political cartoons.
Yeah,
you know,
that's a really good way to put it.
It's a whole story done in a cartoon-like form. So anyhow, so my first one, The New Democrat, is about Obama, and the story of the Obama years done as a parody of The Cat in the Hat. And my second one, The Gorax, about Al Gore and environmentalism, and it's not quite as famous, but it's a parody of Dr. Seuss's book, The Lorax, and which is his, you know, pro-environmentalist book. You know, oh my gosh, capitalism is horrible. We have to defeat all the evil business people and have the environmentalists take over. And this is a parody of that, of how out of hand environmentalism has gotten, particularly, by the way, in the state of California. Whenever I explain that the Gorax in California, my joke is that the original title was going to be the state of California, because you guys are my role model for what's going wrong with environmentalism.
Oh, my gosh.
My new one, The Wizard of Oz, is obviously a parody of The Wizard of Oz. And it's essentially about Hillary and the 2016 presidential election, but it's more broadly about, you know, where our country has come to at this point in time. So there's a lot of, you know, it's not simply, you know, a one-dimensional story about Hillary. It's kind of the whole milieu in which, you know, Hillary is running for president, where there is, you know, where no one is really very honest anymore and everything is corrupt and manipulated and spun. And we tackle the media and the academic world and just the whole, you know, the whole role of government and society. And what I decided to do was to have Dorothy be what she is in the original book, which is a, you know, teenage girl from circa 1900. And one of the twists that I made was I had the tornado blow her into modern times. So this is a kind of a time travel book, where she from 1900 finds herself in 2016 in the midst of Hillary's presidential campaign. And, what she's doing is bringing her 1900 sensibilities to the world that we live in now. And how do you want me to go? You want me to kind of take this? You want me to go through plots or scenes? Or?
Either way, we've got to take a really quick break. And when we come back, so bottom line is you have about 2 minutes to decide. And then we'll just play along because, honestly, you're going to have to tell us a lot of fun stuff so I can get this picture of cartoon Bill Clinton with no pants on out of my mind.
Bill Clinton and his boxer shorts with hearts on them. Bill Clinton, I mean, you know, who can resist this?
Oh, my gosh.
I thought Bill Clinton made an awesome Wizard of Oz.
Yeah, he
because
would.
The original wizard in the original book, and what I always try to do in my parodies is, you know, make it very, you know, follow the narrative line of the original book as much as I can. That's what makes it funny. You recognize, you know, what the original story and how we've changed it. The original Wizard of Oz is a crook. I mean, he's a deceiver. In fact, on my quote page, I always do a quote page at the beginning. On my quote page, I have a line from The Wizard of Oz where he says, "If I should go out of this palace, my people would soon discover that I am not a wizard, and then they would be vexed with me for having deceived them." And you know, that's who the Wizard of Oz is. So it struck me that Bill Clinton is very much the wizard of today. They say it's all smoke and mirrors, and there's nothing real anywhere. And I like the name Wizard of Oz because when they first meet him, they say, you know, are you the Wizard of Oz? And he says, well, that all depends on your definition of Oz. So that was kind of a gimme.
That was a freebie along with the no pants. I mean, those were
I'm intrigued. I've got to get a copy of this book. I mean, the material is endless.
I got a little snapshot of it when he was up in Wairika, and I'm like, I can't wait for this book. All right, we will be right back with you. For those of you that that have computers nearby, go to wethepeopleradio.us, look at our page for today, and you will see the front and back page of The Wizard of Iz, and you'll know what we're talking about. We'll return with Lawrence Bivak in just a couple of minutes. What shall we do about them when they move into your neighborhood? They take over but good. They want you all body and soul. Then it's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
View 202, the only restaurant where you can enjoy your favorite cuisine on the river. Now with our new menu additions, including classics like sweet potato fries, View 202 burger, fish and chips, and the old hatch cover favorite, Mai Mai Almond Bean. Also new, 6 unique flatbread pizzas with toppings from beer braised chicken, spicy Italian sausage, to seared wild mushrooms. Try their smoked steelhead Benedict or the Cali Benedict with avocado and roasted tomato. And on Sunday, enjoy Linda Bott and her jazz ensemble along with bottomless mimosas and half-off bottles of wine all day. Happy Hour is every Monday through Thursday with drink and appetizer discounts. Friday nights are rocking with live music from 6 to 9. View 202 serves only the freshest local ingredients. Executive Chef Dustin, along with his staff, are passionate about their guests having an exceptional culinary experience. View 202, 226-8439. That's 226-8439.
Marty Stewart does it all. Honky-tonk, rockabilly, bluegrass, and straight-up country. It's Marty Stewart, and he's coming to the Cascade Theater Friday, September 18th. Don't miss five-time Grammy winner Marty Stewart in Reading, September 18th at the Cascade. Get tickets today at 243-8877 or cascadetheater.org.
Hello, Shasta County. This is Kurt Largent from Sheldon Largent Realty, and these are difficult times in our economy. It's difficult times in real estate, and people have lots of questions. Should I sell? Am I upside down? What is a short sale? What's cash for keys? What do I do if my house is sold on the courthouse steps? For answers to these questions and many more, please tune in Saturday from 9 to 10 here on KCNR 1460 AM to the Kurt Largent Radio Show. We talk about all things real estate.
Brought to you by Trinity Pest Control, Giles Insurance, and Summit Funding.
If you're diabetic, this message could change your life. Is your blood sugar out of control even when you do all the right stuff? Are you afraid of diabetic blindness and the risk of amputation, as well as all those other side effects? Well, you should be. Is there anything that could help manage your blood sugar? Nobedes is a natural supplement that may quickly and dramatically lower your blood sugar.
My name is Bob Corder. I've been using Nobedes for about 3.5 to 4 months now. And in the first 3 months, I've actually lowered my blood sugars from 500s down to 139, and then it dropped to 88 to 93.
My name is Kirsten. I'm a type 1 diabetic, and while taking Nobedes, my blood sugar levels dropped from 295 to 115 in just one day.
The FDA hasn't evaluated these statements, and Nobedes isn't intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. But for many, it's helped drop their blood sugar. So if you've been evaluated with high blood sugar, don't delay. Evaluate Nobedes now. Call 800-476-8044 and get two bottles free. Just cover shipping and handling. Call 800-476-8044. That's 800-476-8044.
And you're listening to an encore presentation of We the People from May 17th of this year on AM 1460 KCNR.
KCNR, 1460 AM. If we're not talking about it, it's probably not important. KCNR, 1460 AM.
Nice. So, a previous song, you know, What Shall We Do About Them? Now we're going to find out. All right, we're here with Lawrence Bivak, talking about his new book, The Wizard of Iz. All right, so what did you decide? Are we doing plot, characters?
Well, or I guess we might as well meander through the plot. Within the first page, Dorothy, who is essentially Dorothy, I probably did the least to her. Dorothy gets blown by the tornado out of her her world of 1900. You know, when the U.S. government was not even a half of 1% of our economy. You know, where there was no IRS, there was remarkably little government interference in people's day-to-day lives, particularly at the federal level. And in fact, the opening line of the book, if I may, it's one of my favorites, is once long ago, there was no IRS, no EPA, and no HHS. How did people survive? They just managed, I guess. And then Dorothy gets blown into 2016, and her house lands on Obama and kills him. And she finds herself in the land of the free lunchkins, who have just discovered that they've been enslaved by Obama and, you know, by extension, the whole, you know, welfare state. And so the first chapter is about the welfare state, how they came to realize that when you depend on government, you know, to get you your phone, your food, your school, your everything that you want, you actually end up losing your independence. And that it's very hard to struggle your way back from there. You know, once you've bought into that, it's very hard to come back. And that's what the free lunchkins are dealing with.
The free lunchkins.
couldn't
resist.
I get to make lots of puns. It's a fringe benefit of my unusual career.
Well, we were looking at the blow up at the bottom of the screen of the one page. I'm not sure where that page fits in the book, but it's the page that you sent me. And I couldn't cut it in half and blow it up like I did the cover and the front and back covers. But I did put it in a Word document so people could see it in a larger format. But Bill was looking at the... You even got in the Clinton email server with the word deleting on the screen. You didn't miss much.
Oh, there's so much on that page. I mean, you'll spend 5 minutes just looking at all the nooks and crannies and all the little things hanging on the wall. I mean, there's a ton of material just in this picture.
Yeah, Hillary.
You know, that's another thing I've tried to do in all the books is put in enough detail that you can go back and read it a couple times and pick up on things you missed the first time.
I like all the possible. You've got on here, like you've got three pictures, Hillary 1.0, Hillary 2.0, Hillary 3.0, and she moves into the Mao jacket. All the outfits. Oh my gosh. Yeah.
And she doesn't, you know, and she doesn't change at all. She's just, you know.
It's just a different outfit, yeah.
The changes are all completely superficial.
A new costume every time.
Okay, so talk about the, who's the, Cowardly Lion.
The Cowardly Lion becomes the Cowardly Rhino.
Yeah.
And obviously spelled without an H. And he's, you know, suspects that the Democrats are wrong, but he's too scared to do anything about it. And we're getting a little bit out of order because when she leaves the free luncheons because she wants to go back to America in 1900. You know, she's like, I was happy then. I don't know what kind of craziness is going on now, but I want to get back. And they tell her, of course, the only person who could possibly get her back is the wizard who, you know, is able to do everything. And they give her this red box that belongs to the witch, and nobody knows what's inside it. But the legend is that that's where, you know, that's the secret to her power is in the red box. So they give it to Dorothy, and this was kind of I was trying to pick up on the slippers, you know, theme in the original one.
Right.
So anyhow, so it's this mysterious box that can't open. It's like one of those toys where you can't figure out how to open the box. And we're not really sure what's there, except that everyone seems to value it very much. And so she heads on down the yellow brick road to find the wizard to get her problem solved. And the first person that she meets is the Scarecrow. And I was, again, I'm trying to pick up on what's originally there and then twist it in a modern way. The scarecrow, you know, doesn't have a brain. And what I decided to make this about is education. Because, so my scarecrow has 14 graduate degrees from, you know, every Ivy League institution there is, but he still doesn't know anything. Because all of his degrees are in left-wing claptrap, which increasingly is what's being taught in the modern American university. Yeah. And I'll tell you, you know, my daughter, as we speak, is in graduate school. She's pursuing a PhD in history in New York City. And I hear firsthand accounts of this every day. She's got students that she's teaching who major in poverty studies. this is like a subject of the modern American university.
That'd be real useful. Yeah.
And I was like, you know, well, there's the path to a bright future.
Poverty studies.
Take that piece of paper out in the workforce poverty. And see where you go.
And she had another student whose major was indigenous studies. And, you know, then you've got the more well-known, you know, gay and lesbian studies and all of this. So the problem with the scarecrow, because when Dorothy meets the scarecrow and he says, I don't have a brain, she says, well, why don't you go to school and improve yourself? He's like, that's the problem. I've been in graduate school for decades, and I still don't know anything, and now I'm hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt. And I don't, you know, I may be exaggerating ever so slightly for comic effect,